Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Discover a healthcare team that's always here for you at Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network.
Good morning and welcome to the programme. Today, why are our energy bills not coming down? We'll hear from the regulator on the programme. In the week where we heard from a 78-year-old renter facing homelessness, just how many others are in a similar situation? Underwater cameraman Ken O'Sullivan on getting up close and personal with an 80-ton fin whale in his new documentary series. Donald Trump was back on CNN last night making more outrageous claims, while another Republican faces a raft of fraud charges. Marion McKeown will join us from the US. And risky play might make parents nervous, but we'll hear why it's good for children. Our text number is 51551. You can email todaycb@rte.ie. So first this morning, a new joint report from Alone and Threshold sheds light on older renters in Ireland. And you might remember that I spoke to Micheline Walsh on Monday on the programme about her impending homelessness. And her story is reflected in the stories of many other people in this report. Sean Moynihan, CEO of Alone, is with me here in the studio. Good morning to you, Sean. And we have Anne-Marie O'Reilly, National Advocacy Manager with Threshold, on the line. Thank you both for being with us. Sean, would you take us through the main findings in the report, the headlines, if you like, how many older people are renting and what can they afford?
Okay, I think the big headline, I suppose, is housing is about safety and security for all of us. And in old age, that becomes more prevalent for people as the natural ageing process happens around health, bereavement, etc. So I suppose most of the recommendations are, you know, I suppose one of the major ones in there is what is your security of tenure? It also shows the deficits in the private rented sector, where it's not designed to meet the needs of an ageing population. And so ultimately is are we going to ring fence the percentage of older of social housing for older people that matches the demand and the change in demography, which was actually first recommended, I think, in 1968, you know, because people understand this. And also what you see is the lived experience for older people, poorer outcomes in private rented, poorer outcomes of health and well-being, poorer in general, you know, financially challenged. And so we need adequate state income for people. And ultimately is we have to keep working on the standards of accommodation for people.
What came through to me looking at the findings of the report is stress and anxiety, you know, and how that affects your quality of life.
Absolutely. I think whereas we understand there has been improvements around security of tenure done by government, etc., etc. But you've got to remember, if you're renting long term, right, if the landlord legitimately wants to sell, you're only a couple of hundred days away from homelessness. For us, we get we're working with around 2,000 older people a quarter who have housing problems, and one person a day and rising is now facing homelessness. And so with an ageing demographic, which is a great thing, people are living longer. These are our friends, our relatives and our neighbours. And the percentage of people who haven't bought hugely on the increase, right? The number of people in their 50s who are renting is four times what it is in their 60s. You know, how long before we're going to need homeless hubs for older people?
Yeah, and that, Anne-Marie, if I can bring you in on that point, that's going to be a huge problem down the line here, because the housing crisis, we're going to reap what we're sowing right now in terms of people not being able to buy, people who are renting into their 40s and their 50s. What is this going to look like in 10 or 20 years' time?
And that's really what spurred us on, ourselves and Alone, to look at this and to raise this issue, to really stress that it's an issue of now that we're creating, and it's going to get worse into the future. And that's very much why they included people from the age of 45 and up in the research, because those who are renting at that age are less and less likely to be able to move into a more secure tenure, which in Ireland is owner occupation. So the researchers did look at the population projections for the future. So at present, 17% of renters are over the age of 45. A much larger cohort are between 35 and 45. And if they're unable to buy in the next couple of years, they are going to be the older renters of the future as well.
Now, we had Micheline Walsh on the programme on Monday. People who heard Micheline will know that herself and her husband, they have to leave their current rented accommodation at the end of the month. They have nowhere to go. But I assume, Anne-Marie, you have many more people in similar positions who are in their older years and are facing homelessness.
Unfortunately, yes, we're starting to see it more and more. Over the years, we have noted a shift in the age of our client group. So for ourselves at present, actually those over the age of 45, it mirrors what is stated in the report. We have about 15% of our clients are over 45. If we bring in the people from 35 up, it's actually close to half. But, you know, there was an interview the Carol, one of our clients, is going to speak at the event later. Carol's in her 70s. She was issued a notice of termination. She'd been in her home 6 or 7 years. She thought, that's it, I'm going to have to leave. What am I going to do? Who's going to take me? Now, fortunately, Threshold was able to intervene, identify the notice was invalid. The landlord has not come back with the valid notice. Their intention was to sell. So her daily worry is, wants to get their paperwork in order, I'm going to be out of here. Mm-hmm. In our most recent impact report, we had a story of another older lady who received a valid notice of termination. She actually has to be out by the end of this month and still has not been able to find a new home. So we're the Threshold advisor who's working with her is advocating strongly with the local authority to provide something for this woman.
Okay, plenty of examples of this affecting people. And Sean, when it comes to what older people are renting, what kind of accommodation can they find or have they found that fits their needs?
I think that's the challenge, unfortunately. You know, in most cases, landlords are really good people. But the reality is if somebody turns up in their 70s looking to rent, you know, we've all seen queues outside houses. Really, they're not going to rent to an older person. They know the chances are they're on a fixed income or they're after retiring. And really, they might say, well, I might sell this in 5 or 10 years' time. And they don't really want to visualise having to have that conversation with older people. So the system really just isn't designed for you when you're older, and it doesn't work for people.
And what level of their income are they spending on rent?
I think the reality of it is where it is it's actually higher than the percentage that younger people are on, because older people tend to actually earn less, especially because if people are in a couple, one or both may be beyond work age.
Are they mostly, Anne-Marie, using the HAP?
Yes, so the people interviewed for this report, about half were receiving HAP, and the HAP, as we know, for most people, does not meet the market rent, but particularly so for this group, as Sean has pointed out, they are on a fixed income. There is no wiggle room. So according to CSO, actually, people over the age of 65 will be spending more than 35%. of their disposable income on rent. So it is a struggle. It's a struggle every day.
Would it help, Sean, if we had bedsits again? They were phased out. Now, look, many of them were fairly grim. We know that. And they were unsuitable. But they were suitable for some people. And maybe there is a case for some form of bedsit accommodation now to be reintroduced.
I think what I'd say to you is bedsits were eliminated because of the standards. And landlords were given 7 years' notice to do that. On top of that is bedsits when they were in 30, 40 years were a sort of transient thing for an awful lot of people. It's not a place to spend the rest of your life. And you've got to remember is that, you know, the ownership here is dropping at 1% a year, right? Like, we're talking about hundreds of thousands. Are we saying that when you get to old age, when we're at full employment, which we are now, 97% of people are working, are we saying in your old age you might have rent it in a good area, contributed, volunteered in your community, raised your children, and now we want you moving a bedsit. Mm. I think the reality of it is the system isn't set up for an ageing population. And the discussion for 30 years, quite rightly in some cases, has been about first-time buyers. But we haven't been looking, and people like us and Threshold haven't been able to break through into the conversation what happens in older age as we've become more reliant on private rented.
So what protections are in place at the moment for older people who find themselves in this really difficult situation?
Well, I think older people are the same as younger people. That insecurity of tenure is the same for younger people as it is for older people. But the anxiety, as you highlight, is much higher. You know, it's much higher on the basis of people might have health issues. They may have stopped working. They may be bereaved. And are we going to look at a situation that you were renting in an area all your life, and maybe because you've lost a spouse or a partner, if you're lucky enough to have one, and ultimately is you can't pay the rent, and now you're going to either become homeless where you can't compete.
So what are you looking for? What needs to happen?
I think what we need is really to get this strategy front and centre. What I'd say to you is we recognise the government has made progress. We recognise there's good officials working on social housing and approved housing bodies. But what we need to do is match the plans to the demography, to the ageing population, and really just own up the private rent. It's just not going to work unless we radically overhaul it. It's not going to work for an ageing population. Some efforts are made and people say cost rental, but the scale just isn't high enough.
Yeah, and Anne-Marie, in the recommendations, you suggest that HAP could be adjusted for the older population. Is that right? To make sure that given that their incomes are lower, that they'll be able to afford to rent at the market values at the moment?
So the specific recommendation is actually to make changes to the assessment for social housing eligibility. So rather than looking at what someone's income is and then deciding you're eligible or not, it's looking at what do you have left for you've paid your rent.
Sorry, Anne-Marie, your line is gone there. Sean, we might...
Anne-Marie,
sorry, the line is just dropping out, so we might just try and improve that. And while we do that, can we just discuss in more detail these recommendations? Because it seems to me, Sean, that you've identified a long-term problem, that time bomb issue that we're looking at, but also the immediate problem. And how do you make sure that you remove the stress and anxiety for people like Micheline and others who are facing this problem right now?
I suppose for us, and Threshold and others, it's always about how are you going to continue to enhance security of tenure in private rented. And we have to have that conversation. Mm-hmm. On top of that is for social housing, local authorities, what we need is you know, they come out with assessments and they have plans currently at the moment. Some of them over the next 3 years have no mention of older people's houses, and some of them are at a percentage of 1% of housing will go to older people. So the reality is it is about getting everybody together. It's called double deficit because the deficit in the system and how it's designed doesn't work for older people. And the second deficit is we don't have a clear strategy and plan matching an ageing population to the numbers of what we need.
Okay. We've Anne-Marie back on the line now. The Minister for Housing is going to be at your report launch today, Anne-Marie. Do you plan to robustly challenge him on this report?
Well, unfortunately, the Minister had to cancel last minute.
So he won't be there.
Have the opportunity today, but we will seek opportunities to meet with himself and officials to discuss it in more detail. Mm-hmm. So a copy has been sent to him, and
that must be disappointing, Sean, that he won't be there.
It is, but look, this is something that now doesn't have a start and it doesn't have an end. We're 10 years pointing this out. We've produced other reports a couple of years ago, Housing Choices for Older People, where we put the demand figures out. From this double deficit report, we will campaign, we will move on, we move to the next piece of trying to put extra numbers on this. For us, for Threshold and for others, this doesn't end because we want to prevent the country, older people and society ending up, because nobody wants older people homeless, nobody wants older people insecure, nobody wants people with poorer outcomes and poor health. And so ultimately we'll get the minister on another day, and we won't let this go.
All right. Sean Moynihan, CEO of Alone, and Anne-Marie O'Reilly, National Advocacy Manager with Threshold. Thank you both for joining us this morning. Now, we're all wondering, aren't we, when our energy bills are going to fall. Well, after the break, we'll hear from the regulator.
Text 51551. Today with Clare Byrne on RTE Radio 1.